from Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Tom Clark, here again with Family Doc Zorba Pastor, here to talk with you about what's new in healthy living, share some down-to-earth advice, and some great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. If you have a question for Zorba, you can call us now at 800-462-7413. And along with your calls, some interesting topics to talk about.
Yes, Zorba. We're going to talk about death with dignity. Exactly what should you have available? Should you have a terminal illness? What should be at your, you know, your toolkit for that? And then we're going to talk about lentils, mixing them with rice or potatoes, what that means to your health, and the glycemic index, and possibly the prevention of diabetes and other health problems.
Any lentils in our recipe?
Not at all. It's Greek pasta salad. I know, Tom, I know that you really like Greek food, right?
Yeah, right.
I know you like pasta, right?
Yeah.
And I know you like salad, right?
I like salad.
See, we got to pause them in the salad. But this is a wonderful, simple recipe. Great this time of year. Something that you can serve that's fun and good for the family. Greek pasta salad. Stay tuned. It's coming up eventually.
Let's take our first call, Zorba, at 800-462-7413. 1-800-462-7413. Here's our caller, a listener in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi.
Hi, Dr. Zorba and Tom. Nice to talk to you.
Sure.
Good talking to you.
How can we help?
I had three orthopedic surgeries in 2016. We fixed my hip with a labral tear and impingement, and then I had patellofemoral joint replacements in both of my knees.
Wow.
And so I spent an entire year pretty much turning into a couch potato and lost a lot of muscle.
Sure. Every day that you're off your, we'll say in the hospital bed, not moving around, one day it takes 3 days to recovery. So basically, if you're hanging around, not doing much for a month, it takes 3 months to recover muscle mass from that 1 month that you hung around. It's a 1-to-3 ratio. That's kind of what we use. That's what the rehab people use, PT and OT people use sort of as a guiding light. So yes, I'm sure that was awful.
It would be more like 3 years for recovery.
Well, it takes, maybe it would take up to three. That seems kind of on the long side, but it's really being in bed. It's really being in bed for a day, 3 days to recover. It's really the bed rest concept. So you had three orthopedic surgeries in 1 year. That's a while.
Right. And I've started exercising, and I've worked myself up over the past year to going 5 days a week. I still have some trouble with foot drops. My knees will give out. I have trouble going up and down inclines. My problem, I guess my worry, is that my father had limb-girdle muscular dystrophy late in life. And these are all, you know, I can't get out of a chair without pushing off. These are all his symptoms, and that scares me.
So he had muscular dystrophy late in life, and there is, have you gone to a rheumatologist at all to be looked at?
Not recently. Now, I'm almost afraid to talk about this with people with the way healthcare is going these days. And, here's another pre-existing condition.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't be afraid. I think you, let's put the fear out of the system. First of all, if you have limb-girdle muscular dystrophy, rheumatologists can look at the risk. I think I'm not sure exactly what tests are done. I don't know if there's a genetic test to see whether or not you have it. And I don't know how accurate that genetic test is, because there are a number of genetic tests that are accurate, but it doesn't mean whether or not the gene will actually manifest. So in other words, we might have, I'll give you a perfect example. I have two identical twins in my practice. They allow me to talk about it. They've lived together. Neither one married. They both have lived together their entire life. They look exactly alike. They're in their 70s now. They eat the same food. They live the same way. They have the same occupation. They shared the same occupation in the same office. One had prostate cancer. The other one didn't. And here it is. So you've got genes. They have identical genes, pretty much identical lives. It still manifests differently. So even though you might have the gene, it doesn't mean it's going to come out. But even if it, it would come out, you still want to increase your muscular mass so that you don't have the problem. I wouldn't be afraid. On the other hand, it's not going to change what you should do. So first of all, with the foot drop, is it significant? It's a significant foot drop?
That is slowly getting better. But my knees, you know, I hang on when I'm on the treadmill because, you know, all of a sudden, whoomp, one knee will kind of give, and I don't want to go flying off.
So first of all, with the foot drop, some people, if they have a significant foot drop, that is neurological. They can get something called an AFO, ankle-foot orthosis, and you get fit with it. They're expensive. They're usually covered by insurance, carbon fiber. If you look at the para-athletes, you know, who have lost their legs and you see them running, they're actually carbon fiber AFOs. Well, they're not AFOs. They're actually carbon fiber, you know, which are appliances that they use. But what's nice about these is they're incredibly lightweight and they're springy. So for people with foot drops, they used to be in a plastic, little plastic thing that didn't move at all, and to try to keep their foot up, they were heavy, you would sweat in them, they were uncomfortable. But now they have these incredibly light things that actually push your foot up. And for people who have trouble, who get stuck and fall because of that, that can be useful. But for other people, it's a matter of then doing the physical exercise to make the muscles stronger. So you're now still, when was your last surgery?
September of 2016. Uh-huh.
So it's been a while. It's been a while since your last surgery. 5 days a week, is that too much, do you think?
I'm just working hard at trying to gain some muscle. I'm 62. I'm one of the oldest ones in the classes that I go to.
Awesome. I'm in my 70s. I'm 70. I love being the oldest one. I like to look back and just – I don't like to say back in the day, but I like to kind of look back because they all look like – they all look like they're in elementary school to me. That's what they are. I saw somebody the other day, and she was graduating college, and I thought, you look like you're in eighth grade. My brain is obviously not – you know, I think as you get older, everyone looks really young. So your question is what?
My question was just if I needed to be worrying about this, or I should just kind of put it out of my mind.
I put it out of my mind.
Yes, you should worry Tom, all the time.
See, Tom.
That'll help a lot.
That's exactly right. Tom, good advice, Tom. That's right. Worry all the lot. Valium. Take Valium. 5 milligrams four times a day. But the answer is no. You don't have to. A, you might have the gene. B, it's not going to make a difference because C, you should be working on it. And D, you want to get to the highest level. You want to get to your personal best. What's the best you can get to what you have with your body today? And you do that with a good trainer, you know, in a good class, a good doctor who might be your manager, if you will, and a good physical therapist who might have some recommendations. And those things can get you to the best you are. And then you have to choose things that you can do which will not give you injury. That's the other part. As you get older, injuries are the big issue. Over 65, if you have a hip fracture, chances are you will have a major disability, 25% chance of death within 2 years with hip fracture from complications such as pneumonia and debility. So, yeah. Keep what you're doing, and don't follow Tom's advice. You know, follow the advice of Bob Marley. Don't worry, be happy.
Okay, I'll do that.
Thanks for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate the call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. But Zorba, before our next call, this is an email we received from a listener named Amy. Dr. Zorba, I commend you for your response, which I read in an article regarding assisted suicide. My friend died last week at Dignitas in Zurich, surrounded by his family, hugging, kissing, and reminiscing, and in their case, even dancing to 60s rock music. It was a much better option than watching him deteriorate, as he had already entered the final stages of Alzheimer's. This needs to be much more mainstream. Individuals must have the option to end their lives honorably. It is the right and fair thing to do. Thanks for giving voice to this issue, and I urge you to continue stating your opinion about this subject.
Right, and this was a column that I wrote that we'll put on our website if anyone hasn't read it, and it really had to do with a friend of mine's brother who I knew. So this guy was brilliant, got 800s on his SAT, you know, in math and verbal, far smarter than I was. I remember visiting him when he was a young kid. This was her younger brother, and he would sit down. He had two piles of books by an easy chair in their house. Both his parents were professors in Kentucky, one at the University of Kentucky. One at another college, which was in Lexington, Kentucky. And he would read a book a day. You know, that's what he did for fun. So he'd sit there, read a book, and it might have been a math book or another book. And one side of the chair were the books he read, the other side of the chair were the books he was going to read. And he'd go to the library, and he'd get like 20 or 30 books a month, and he would go through one after another. Brilliant guy. Ultimately did a lot of work at the age of 40, 45, somewhere in the age of mid-40s, decided, I want to be a doctor. He had been a PhD, went to medical school. He finished it in like 2.5 years, and then started doing his residency in psychiatry, and then started undergoing changes. He developed Huntington's chorea. Huntington's chorea is inevitably a deadly disease, and what happens is you start losing your memory. So he could never pass his psychiatry boards. He was having trouble with words, and the problem with Huntington's, Woody Guthrie being the most famous case of Huntington's chorea, is you begin to have a change in personality. Many people, not all, but many people become aggressive and hostile. He started yelling at his children. He was a gentle soul. And lived in Connecticut. No way he could have death with dignity. Brought his kids together and his wife, and he said, there's nothing I can do. I don't want to hang myself. I don't want to jump off a bridge. I don't want to have a noose. There are terrible ways to die. Shooting yourself in your head, messy and awful. Hanging yourself, terrible. Crashing a car, awful. And he said, I'm going to fast. And so he just stopped eating and drinking, and it took him 2 weeks to die. And they were all surrounding him, and it took him quite a long time. And it was not really the right way to go. And we've got a number of states. I believe we're up to 5 states now where if you want to, you can get a prescription, and you can take it, and you can then kill yourself with the prescription. That's really what it's for. So I think the issue is this. I think we could carve out a population that we could agree on. Now, there are going to always be people who don't agree with that. For instance, the Catholic Church, the teachings in the Catholic Church, Orthodox Jewish traditions, undoubtedly Orthodox Islam traditions, is you never kill yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't take your own life. Mm-hmm. So that group of people are not involved with this. They don't have to get the prescription. But there are number of secular people who may want to have it. And I think you could draw lines and you could say, here you have a terminal disease and it's been verified by one doctor, maybe even two doctors, and you are able to make a will. A lawyer says, yes, you have the ability to make a will. If you can do that, if you can buy a gun, you should be able to go and get a prescription and take a Seconal and potassium, which is really what does it. Get your family together and then decide you're going to end your life. So I think it's time to have a robust discussion. There are a number of people, when you look at this nationally, there are a number of people who agree this is something they should have the option to do with a terminal disease. Kevorkian was a clown. He was awful. Yeah. He was a clown. He set everything back 10 years, the whole discussion, because he was doing terrible things to a group of a subgroup of people who may have had that option, but that's not the group that I think we should deal with. I think we should deal with the option of, if I have a terminal disease, me, I should have the option of saying, look, family, I have a terminal disease. I want to die with dignity. I don't want to die in an undignified way. Why can't I have that option? We should have a discussion. Yeah. You know, why should the government take away my right to the pills?
People who are opposed to this aren't just opposed to doing it to themselves. They're opposed to having anybody else do it, too.
Right, right. And there's a slope here. You know, there can be a slippery slope. And I agree, there's definitely a slippery slope. But we could carve out a slope of people who have a terminal disease. Now, what's interesting about the letter is Alzheimer's. At some point, you're not able to make that decision. I don't think you can't take it yourself. You're not with it. I think that group, it's at the point at which you have to decide when it's possible to take it and not take it. And in 5 states of the union, including California now, they have carved that out. And it's time for us, just like medical marijuana, more than half the states in the country allow it, it's the time for states to have that discussion. And I predict over the next 10 years, there will be at least 10, instead of 5, there will be 10 or 15 or 20 states that will allow this. It's time to have that decision made by the people in the state.
Let's take another call now, Zorba, at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. And a Black River Falls, Wisconsin listener joins in now. Hi.
Hello. I am curious about your opinion on hydrogenated water, and I'll tell you why I ask. About 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with having type 2 diabetes. I started on metformin and losartan, made certain dietary changes, and but done this up until probably 5 months ago. 5 months ago, I started looking into nutrition, and I made a couple of decisions. One, to go essentially vegan with the exception of fish, turkey, and maybe a pork chop once every 3 weeks because I like them. I also eliminated gluten, which I immediately registered with a big increase in energy. I was very surprised by it. And I also did not continue taking metformin. Instead, I took my blood sugar in the morning and in the evening and sometimes during the day. And I noticed a drop, a definite drop. I also introduced into the routine hydrogenated water, an expensive thing to do because the machine that you get to do this is quite costly. At any rate, I have had a definite drop in blood sugar. There's no question about it. An increase in energy levels, which I noticed because I'm 72. And when I was asked by a doctor, did I miss bread? I said, no, I actually missed how I felt when I was 40 years old more, so it was no big deal to get up gluten.
Well, let me chime in for a minute. First of all, by essentially lowering your blood sugar, which you did by being vegan and getting rid of wheat, and I don't know if it's the gluten-free or the fact that you just got rid of wheat, which has a high glycemic index, is digested, pumps the blood sugar up. Those things are the major things that you did. You know, whether hydrogenated water and expensive, if you find there's a difference, I think that's minor compared to the dietary changes you made. And frankly, you know, we eat foods that have high glycemic indexes. We push our pancreas to the extreme. And as you said, you had diabetes and you controlled your diabetes with diet and exercise. I assume you're doing some exercise?
Yes, yeah. I do. I walk at least 1 mile a day, actually more. Yeah. And the other thing that I have done is to lose weight.
Sure.
By minimizing carbohydrates to 50 grams a day, I dropped 20 pounds, going from 195 to 175. Uh-huh.
Good. See, well, so they're all dietary issues. You lowered your blood sugar. If you're vegan and gluten-free, you undoubtedly have more fiber in your diet, so you have a higher fiber diet. That lowers the spikes in blood sugar, and then you lost weight of 20 pounds and you're exercising. That's all good stuff.
The only side effect to losing that much weight is your clothing gets so loose that I was worried if I sneezed, my pants would fall.
Well, I have an answer to that. It's called Amazon.com.
So I bought different pants, so that worked.
But that's the major stuff. Now, whether or not there's no data on hydrogenated water, whether or not it works or it doesn't work, you know, you have to see. There's always a placebo effect. You know, you spend money, you get something, you put it in, you feel better. But the fact is, your dietary changes made a big difference because you lost weight. You're eating low glycemic foods. That's dynamite. That's a huge, huge change in how your body is reacting. And that makes a difference. Then you exercise more, you do more, and you feel better.
And what about the metformin?
Well, did you get rid of the metformin and it worked well?
I stopped taking it.
Yeah. And that's metformin is an excellent drug. It works well. But if you don't need it because you've made changes, I have a question for you. Before this, did you exercise at all?
Oh, yes. I was exercising for quite a while. But I made a definite routine of it so that I'm going at least 23 minutes of brisk walking, which is in the gym that I use, more than a mile. And I increase it.
Getting back to the hydrogenated water, you bought it, you like it, you feel better, use it. There's no scientific data on it. You know, what happens is there's always pseudoscience on all these things. First of all, there's the recommendation from somebody who looks good. I feel great. I took hydrogenated water. I lost 20 pounds, and now my children talk to me, and the political situation is much better in the country that I live. You know, I mean, you know, so you get anecdotal information. information. Then you get pseudoscience. Yes, there was a study of 10 people done by Fred, but Fred has a PhD from Denmark University in Denmark, Wisconsin, and Fred says this really works based on a study. So it's junk science, and it's a junk anecdote. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't work. That just means you can try it and see if it works for you. So I'm not against alternative things at all. I think a number of them will turn out to really work out well. But I'm against, you know, using pseudoscience and anecdotes to sell it because there's no data that it works. But you feel better with it, I would continue to use it. But don't give up your dietary changes because that, I know, works.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We appreciate that. Call at 800-462-7413. Now, before we take a break, Zorba, time again to fire off another edition of Disagreeing with the Doc.
Disagreeing with the Doc. Disagreeing with the Doc. Oh, oh, oh.
The following email came to us from a listener named Aaron. He writes, "Heads up, Dr. Zorba. IU, or international units, are not equivalent to MGS or milligrams. Recently, you said that 1,000 IU of vitamin D was the same as 1,000 milligrams. You made a 400 times dosing error. 1,000 IU of vitamin D is actually 25 milligrams. Please do not interchange dosage units or measurements. I love the show. And say what's up to Tom for me."
Okay, what's up, Tom? Thank you very much for that correction. You are absolutely, absolutely correct. You know, sometimes as I'm actually talking about things, I'm thinking in my brain, now, are those international units or are there milligrams? So I stand corrected. They are not the same thing. Thank you so much for correcting that. I appreciate one for the team, zero for me.
What do you mean? It's one for the team and about 9 million.
That's right.
Anyway, do you think Zorba got something wrong? Give him a dose of his own medicine by posting on our Facebook page or by sending us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Our tasty recipe coming up, along with more of your calls, of course, right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Here with Family Doc Zorba Pastor on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. That number again is 800-462-7413. But before our next call, Greek pasta salad.
That's right. Now, I know that salads are okay for you.
Yeah.
But do you ever go out to a restaurant and choose something that is a salad?
For a main course?
Yeah, for a main course.
No, I don't.
No, never, never.
No.
But a lot of people do.
Oh, you know, sure.
Salad,
no, I understand.
And they have protein in the salad. I mean, sometimes it's a Cobb salad, may not have any protein, and sometimes it has protein in the salad. I often do not go out to restaurants and choose salad. I figure, well, why am I getting a salad at a restaurant?
It's like, yeah.
You know, I can make a salad at home, and I think about it. But in fact, salads can be really good, and this is a good example of a salad. Now, I mean, really, Greek pasta salad? I mean, Greek Zorba? Come on. I mean, this must be, you know, I mean, come on. This is like a no-brainer, yep, no-thinker type of a salad. But, you know, especially during this time of year, I think salads are really good. And actually, salads are good any time of year because I always think of, I associate salad with sun. I just think of the sun with the salad.
Okay.
I don't think of that with milk. With milk, I think of a cow, you know. And beef, well, I don't think about the beef herds really very much at all. But salad, I think of, I don't know, makes me kind of happy. Anyway, now that I've gone waxed nostalgic on salad, let's start with it.
Okay.
Okay, the dressing. 1/4 cup of extra virgin olive oil.
a quarter cup extra virgin olive oil.
Now, I recently read an article in ConsumerLad.com, which is my favorite website to go to when you're looking for a supplement to find out if a supplement is good. You have to pay money, just like Consumer Reports, because there's no advertising at all. And they actually just won a suit against an olive oil company, which was famous, Bertolli. I can't remember the name of the company. Something like Bertolli or Bertolini, because they were actually taking, they were calling extra virgin olive oil that they were mixing with regular olive oil. It wasn't extra virgin. It wasn't the first pressing. And there was a suit that actually they had against that company. And they won the suit, showing that the company, they're a large olive oil producer, was not always using extra virgin olive oil because it was more expensive. So there was a profit motive. So extra virgin olive oil, either that you know from a reputable company or a reputable seller, is going to be really the best olive oil.
Okay.
Three teaspoons of red wine vinegar.
Three little tea red wine vinegar.
Juice of a lemon. Do not use lemon that is reconstituted.
Juice of one lemon.
That's right. There's no comparison. You do lemon juice, and it's like you can just smell it. It's so really good. Mm-hmm. 1.5 teaspoon of dried oregano. If you've got fresh oregano, that'll be good too.
1.5 little tea, dried oregano.
And 1 teaspoon of fresh ground black pepper.
Yeah.
Now, for the pasta, pick a pound of the pasta of your choice. My little granddaughter would like to have bows. There may be those little kind of things that look kind of like screws. You may choose any kind of pasta. Tortellini would be okay. Anything. Pasta of your choice.
A pound of the pasta of your choice.
1 teaspoon of the extra virgin olive oil.
Little tea, extra virgin olive
cup
oil.
Cup of pitted green olives halved. Cup of cherry tomatoes halved again.
Cup of cherry tomatoes halved.
That's right. Half cup of diced cucumbers.
Half a cup diced cucumber.
Third of a cup of diced red onion.
Third of a cup diced red
onion.
And
1 cup of crumpled feta cheese.
1 cup crumpled feta cheese.
So when you look at the pasta fixings and everything, all of this will take you, it's about 15 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes of prep. And when I'm doing prep like this, I take everything, I put it right on my counter, so we've got everything together at one time. Mm-hmm. So instead of going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth into the refrigerator, I do this. There's a guy named Ruman, Ruman's 20, he is a cook, it's my favorite cookbook of all time, and his first chapter in the cookbook is Think. So you got to think about this. It's a wonderful recipe. It's going to take you a little bit of time. It's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, make the dressing. So add the olive oil, red wine vinegar, juice of lemon, oregano, black pepper, and a few pinches of salt to a bowl. Whisk it together till it emulsifies and is combined. Give it a taste. If you need to add a little more salt, put it to the side. And if you whisk it, it's actually better, but you can shake it in a shaker if you want to. Pasta fixings. Okay, number one, pot of salted water, bring it to a boil, add the pasta, cook according to the instructions. You've got to read it, and you've got to cook it until it's al dente. I've had a number of people who have written in, it's not al dente, which I used to say, it's al dente, which okay. means to the tooth. To the tooth. It means it should have a little bit of tooth to it. Drain it. Run it under cold water. Under cold water. Importantly, sort of get it to sort of stop. Return it to the pot. Drizzle it with 1 teaspoon of olive oil. Toss it. Put it off to the side. The olive oil actually just keeps it from sticking together. Now, in a medium bowl, add the other olive oil, green olives, tomatoes, cucumber, red onion, feta cheese together. Then put in the cold pasta. Toss it a little bit with the dressing until it's evenly coated. Give it a taste. Adjust the salt so you want to. And adjust the cheese if you want to, because remember, the feta cheese will give some saltiness to the dish. You can make it ahead now. It's wonderful. You mix all the stuff together just before the party. But it's great as a party dish. It's great for a barbecue. It's great as a dish to pass. And it's wonderful dressing just before serving. That's when you put the dressing on. It's just a great salad. And people will compliment you. Let me tell you. Yeah. When you make this, people will say, oh, my gosh, what a great salad. Yeah, thank you for bringing this.
Sounds really good.
Yeah, it's really good. And for you, if it sounds good, you know it's good.
Well, for those who would like the recipe, what should they do?
They should go to the website, zorbapastor.org. You'll see this and other wonderful recipes, zorbapastor.org, or, of course, you can find us on Facebook.
Want to talk with Zorba? Do you have a question? 800-462-7413 is our number. 1-800-462-7413. And back to the phones now, Zorba. A listener with us in El Paso, Texas. Hi.
Hi.
How can we help?
Well, my problem is weight. It seems that for the past 3 years, I've been losing weight.
Huh.
it's got to the point where right now I'm down to about 115.
Well, how much did you weigh 3 years ago?
150.
That's a big difference. Mm. Huge. How tall are you?
5'7".
How tall were you?
5'7". I'm 5'6" now.
Ain't it the truth, as we say, ain't it the truth? I like to say I'm 5'7", but when I measure myself, I'm 5'6". I've gone down to 5'6". Maybe I'll go down to 5 feet eventually.
Let me ask the caller, do you have any health problems that you can link to this loss of weight?
No, I just finished a physical for the year, and I came out great with everything.
Uh-huh. That's a big difference, though. You know, 5'7", 5'6", 115 pounds.
Yeah.
What do you think's going on?
I don't know. One thing that might be going on, I don't have a good appetite based on the fact that I have dentures now.
Right. That was the thing I was actually going to ask. One of the main problems is teeth. And when people lose their teeth, they often lose weight because teeth. Because the food doesn't taste as good, the texture and everything else. When did you get your full dentures?
I've had them for a year.
You've had them for a year.
Yeah.
So the weight loss has accelerated. So prior to getting your dentures, you had tooth problems, right?
Yes.
Yes. And so the weight loss has accelerated since that time?
Actually, I lost teeth in World War II.
Okay. Wow.
Progressively got worse.
Progressively got worse. So you lost teeth in World War II.
Yeah.
So that means you're older.
Yes.
How old are you?
I'm 98.
You're 98. 98 and still kicking, as we say. Well, I've got something that I would recommend, because basically 115 is too small. That's too low. That's too low a weight. There's some wonderful supplements. There is such as Boost. By the way, I recommend Glycerna. I like that better now. I do not own stock in the company. And the Glycerna tastes the best. It tastes to me like a malt. I'm serious. They have manufactured. It's an industrialized product. It's 20% of the protein you need for the entire day.
Uh-huh.
It's 180 calories. You need a lot more than that to keep going. But if you have two Glycernas a day, you'll get 40% of the protein. That's number one. Do you like eggs?
Yes.
You eat eggs every day?
I have eggs every day.
How many eggs?
Well, we normally go out for breakfast, and it's two eggs.
Okay. Okay, two eggs are great. You should have a couple of eggs. What do you have for your afternoon or evening meals?
I don't.
You don't. That's the problem. You don't.
Yeah.
So you've got to have something. In other words, otherwise, frankly, you are going to get sick from the fact that your weight is getting too low. 115 is really too low for somebody who's 5'6". I mean, 120, 125, you could do it. But as a male for 115, who's somebody who's progressively losing weight, who was 150, that's too low. 120, you might be okay. Now, if you look, for instance, at a woman who's 5'6 and 115, she will often want to be there. And it might be okay for you, but I'm concerned because of the fact that you're not having lunch and you're not having dinner. You really need to have more calories during the day. So you might just decide you don't feel like anything, have two or three Glycernas every day. I mean, it's another way of getting something into your system so you stabilize your weight. What sort of exercise do you do at 98?
I walk still. Mm-hmm. And I have a Giselle that I play with every once in a while.
A Giselle? What is a Giselle?
It's an apparatus that you stand on, mm-hmm, and you move your feet back and forth like you're walking.
Uh-huh. Got it. Hey, your brain sounds completely intact, and you listen to public radio, so you're keeping your mind active, too.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Now, how are you married, or you have a significant?
Yeah, I'm married.
How many years?
This is our second marriage, 26 years.
So 26 years in the second marriage. How many years in the first marriage?
I just got corrected.
You just got corrected.
It's 27 years.
It's 27 years. Now, that's a wonderful wife. Rex, that's, I've got it. That's exactly it. Keep up the good work. You've got to have some more calories for lunch and dinner. If you don't feel like eating, you can't find something else that you like, such as a protein, since you're eating animal protein, some chicken in the afternoon, chicken in the evening, or anything else, or fish, some salmon. If you can't find that, have another, another product, such as Boost Ensure or like Lycerna, in the afternoon and the evening. You want to stabilize your weight. 115, 120, if it's stabilized, is okay, but you've got to have something more during the day. And she's right. She's been telling you have to eat more food, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Thanks so much for your call.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Kribler. And I listen to you all the time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call at 800-462-7413.
You know, I've got to tell you something. I am a rock star among the senior citizen class. If you have a being, you know, my son recently went to the Grateful Dead tour. Obviously, the Grateful Dead. I think it's called the After Tour. What's it called?
I can't forget.
Come on, you forgot? You mean you don't go to that? I mean, they went to East Troy, and they were like in Alpine Valley, and they went, you can't tell me what the Grateful Dead follow-up tour is? And you're in the, come on, you're in the millennial generation. You should know. Come on.
I think it's called The Other Ones.
The Other Ones. You know, come on, somebody's got to correct us like that. But anyway, if there were a tour of the senior citizen class, and if they went to rock concerts, I'd be the one they go to because I rock among seniors.
800-462-7413, our number. That's 1-800-462-7413. Now, before the break, Zorba, let's check in again with your favorite backseat drivers, the Grammar Police.
You know, I've got a question, by the way. Why don't we have punctuation police, too? Why is it only grammar and not punctuation? Well, I want to have people chime in on colons and commas.
Actually, Zorba, this one isn't really from the grammar police. It's from the theme song police.
Oh, the theme song police.
The following email came to us from a listener named Ron. He writes, Zorba, your show is always a joy to listen to. However, when the show's theme song comes on, for a split second, I think we're about to see an Eddie Murphy movie from the 1980s. I can't seem to defuse that reaction. Okay, Zorba, I think Ron may be onto something here. So we put together a clip of our theme song mixed together with a theme from the 80s Eddie Murphy movie, Beverly Hills Cop. We're calling it Beverly Hills Doc. Okay, Brad, let's hear it.
They got it. That's exactly it. It is. Eddie Murphy, I'm dancing around.
Do you have an infraction to hand out to Zorba? Let us know by posting to our Facebook page or sending us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
More of your calls coming up. Another topic to talk about right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. That number again, 800-462-7413. 1-800-462-7413. But Zorba, before our next call, eating lentils lowers blood sugar?
Right. Fascinating study that I think is really important. So first of all, lentils are a bean. Lentils are a bean. Mm-hmm. And the family of beans are called pulses. I was looking this up, and pulses comes from pulsa. It's a Latin term which means to thicken soup.
Huh.
Because beans thicken soup. Guess how many varieties of beans there are. I mean, we only eat a certain number of varieties, but guess how many varieties of edible beans there are. Guess.
75.
2,000. There are 2,000 varieties of edible beans. I was shocked by this when I did the research. And lentils are a common variety. Now, lentils in this country are not eaten very much, but they're very common in the Indian subcontinent. So about a billion people a year have lentils almost every day.
Okay.
So this was a particular study looked at mixing lentils with either rice or with potatoes. Now, rice and potatoes both have a high glycemic index, meaning you eat them and all of a sudden your blood sugar pops up, okay? And we know fast blood sugar, bad for the pancreas, right? May lead to diabetes. We know that you should eat less sugar. And so you want to slow down the absorption of these of the carbohydrates that are immediately doing that. So they did a study where people ate either potatoes or rice, and then they ate potatoes or rice mixed with lentils. So in other words, they had half lentils, basically it was half lentils, half rice, half lentils, half potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
They reduced blood sugar by 30%.
Whoa.
It was a 30% drop in blood sugar after their meal when they mixed lentils with the potatoes. Now keep in mind, you're still eating potatoes. They're going to pop your blood sugar out, but even though you're eating fewer, it's still going to pop up your blood sugar. The lentils slowed it down. Why did it do it? Maybe it was the fiber in the lentils. They're loaded with fiber. Maybe it was the protein. 1 cup of lentils costs about a quarter when you cook it, and it has 20% of the protein you need in the day.
Really?
Really, shocking. So to eat a cup of lentils, you're eating 1/3 of the protein you need in the day. It's a high protein, high fiber, enzymatic product. It has lots of enzymes, which slows down the absorption. That's good for you. But what are lentils associated with? What are beans associated with in our culture? Poverty.
Flatulence
is one thing,
yeah.
But lentils do not produce much flatulence. Poverty. Beans are the food of poverty. They're not a high-class, upper-crust food. So the answer is lentils are the new superfood. Lentils are something you should introduce in your diet. We're going to have a number of recipes to follow on lentils. They're a great food. They slow down blood sugar and may help prevent diabetes.
1-800-462-7413 if you have a question for Zorba. 800-462-7413. As we go back to the phones now, Zorba, welcoming a listener in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi.
Hey, Tom and Zorba.
How can we help?
I have a bit of a strange reaction to the cold. To give you a little background, I'm 29. A couple years ago, I was at a work event, and after holding a glass of beer for an extended period of time, one of my fingers started to swell.
Huh.
Yeah, once I removed my hand, all my fingers on the hand, that were in contact with the glass, felt a tingle, itch, sort of like an allergic feeling, swelling, visibly red, and as it warms up, it tends to hurt a little bit more. This has since happened with snowboarding, surfing in the cold, you name it. And different areas, whether it's my nose or my ears, things start to swell. Even when I eat really cold things, sometimes my tongue has a minor tingle and slightly swells. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any thoughts on what that might be?
Uh-huh. Well, this is probably something called Raynaud's phenomena, Raynaud's, where your fingers, your extremities especially, can swell. They become white. They can blanch. And basically, it's an increased arterial super reaction to cold. And it can be systemic, which in your case is the case. And you said it occurs when you go into cold weather and when you're surfing, it also occurs. You said it occurs in your nose and your ears also, or?
My feet, when I'm surfing, I can tell it's like a large, almost pad that seems to form on the bottom of my feet. But yeah, when I'm snowboarding, the nose and the ears are, they obviously get cold and they're exposed. exposed, but yes, you can see it.
So let's go to boarding for just a second. When you're snowboarding, you have boots. Do your feet also do that? Do they swell, become red,
no.
or become tender? So not when you're snowboarding. But when you're on the water, they do. Is that the difference?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So clearly, you know, when you're in the boot and you basically have some insulation against the cold, it doesn't cause it. When you're in the water, it's just there. Yeah, it's probably Raynaud's, Raynaud's. And the issue is Raynaud's can come and go, things that can make it better and worse. Do you smoke cigarettes, or do you smoke?
No, never.
Okay, because that's really important. Smoking actually, you know, actually will make things worse. Sometimes there's a medication that we give. Very few people take it. It's an it's a hypertensive drug that we give called Norvasc and Lodipine. You're not going to take it, but people do take it occasionally, and it helps. Some people take it on an as-needed basis. So when they go out, for instance, they're going to do a sport, and they're really bothered by it, they'll take this to see if it makes a difference. But the most common thing people do is they insulate up for something like that. In other words, so they insulate their hands, their fingers. In the wintertime, they double glove when it comes to their face. If it really bothers them, they may wear a face mask. And that, because usually that will reduce it. Won't get rid of it completely, but it'll reduce it. The other thing is, people sometimes age out of it. So 5 or 10 years later, they're not as bothered, even 2 or 3 years later. But it's Raynaud's, and basically it's your body's reaction to cold, and it's just a greater reaction than other people have. Doesn't mean you've got something serious going on. That's really important. It doesn't mean there's an underlying problem.
Okay, yeah, that was my biggest fear, that this may be my body's, you know, way of telling me something more serious. And
no,
what I think is kind of strange is that it sort of came out of nowhere like a year or two ago.
Right, it does do that. And by the way, it may disappear out of nowhere too.
Okay.
You could try over-the-counter, non-sedating antihistamines, you know, drugs such as Zyrtec, Allegra, or Claritin, and see if that helps. And you could do that before you went on the water. That would be okay. See if the Zyrtec helps.
Okay.
And it's not going to hurt you, and it's not going to be a bad thing. If you're going to do it before you go, and I would try it on the water, that'll give you the best idea if it's going to be, because you'll have instant cold. Make sure you take it an hour or two before you go on the water, not just before. It's got to be in your system for an hour or two. And I would use Zyrtec.
Okay.
That's the strongest of the three. See if that works.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
And we appreciate that call at 800-462-7413. Okay, Zorba, are you a Facebook person?
Me? Am I a Facebook? Well, I mean, I go on and off of Facebook. All of a sudden, I'll do 10 things on Facebook, and with the new privacy issues, I find that I'm doing less and less on Facebook, frankly.
Well, you know, Zorba, that I check the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page constantly.
Of course, Tom. Of course. And Tom, you've drank the Kool-Aid, or I've drunk the Kool-Aid I think you've actually done that.
I check it on my smartphone, as
right,
you know,
right,
jotting down notes and posting funny little emojis.
Yeah, I can picture
that. So let's rip through another segment of Facebook feedback.
Facebook feedback.
Okay, first, Carol in Wisconsin writes, "Hi, Doc. Could you please discuss your take on the stem cell treatments? I'm in knee pain, but I sure hate to spend those big bucks if it's not going to rebuild the cartilage. Is it too soon to try it?"
It's too soon to try it. Maybe in the year 2020 there'll be something there. Believe me, there is lots of research on it. There'll be a lot of money on the first pharmaceutical company that actually produces something that can rebuild cartilage. That will change the world. That will cut down on surgery. That'll make people's lives so much better. But you know what? At this point, it's fantasy.
Now, Cindy in Florida asks, "Have you ever given advice on how to treat 4-year-olds with intense seasonal allergies?"
Well, first of all, I always give advice whether I know what I'm talking about or not.
You always know what you're talking
about.
But
seasonal allergies in a 4-year-old, of course, antihistamines such as Claritin are very good. They've got a wonderful pill that you just put under the tongue because kids don't like to swallow pills. And then nasal sprays. Steroid nasal sprays work well. The problem with a 4-year-old is often they don't want to spray their nose. But if you can get them to spray it and you spray it with them, it can make a big difference. The steroid nasal sprays really work. you just need a lower dose for a kid, not as many sprays as you use for an adult. And check with your doc.
And finally now, Zorba, Linda in Wisconsin writes, Dr. Pastor, I was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer in 2016, and I've read about anti-inflammatory diets helping to fight reoccurrence. Is there any validity to anti-inflammatory diets?
Well, the validity is we know that a number of women who have breast cancer that is cured, some women are not cured, and they have a rogue cell that 10 years later, 5 years later, 15 years later, shows up, and then they either perish from the cancer or they need a retreatment. We don't understand why. We don't understand many of the variables. And it's possible that some of the diets that have never been tested, because they're very difficult to test scientifically, work. So if you want to try an anti-inflammatory diet, and if you feel better on it, go for it. The science is not behind it because we've never really checked it out.
Well, let's keep the Facebook love flowing, or you could always send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
And before we head out today, Zorba, we love it when our listeners offer up some helpful information or interesting ideas. The following note came to us from a listener named James. He writes, Zorba, on a recent show, a listener was asking about using the sun lamp during the winter months to help with seasonal affective disorder. During Dr. Zorba's answer, he mentioned that he uses a sun lamp more in November and December, and he uses a sun lamp less in January, February, and March. Dr. Zorba specifically mentioned the date of January 8th.
Right.
And said he did not know why he did not need the sun lamp so frequently after January 8th.
Mm-hmm.
I know why Dr. Zorba does not need the sun lamp after
okay.
January 8th.
Hey, way to go.
Everybody who is a music fan knows that January 8th is Elvis's birthday.
I love it. It's Elvis Presley's birthday. I no longer need the sun lamp. I will now have to develop a shrine for Elvis at the house and shut up the sun lamp and put up his photo. Either the young Elvis or the old Elvis.
To the emailer, thank you. Thank you very much.
It's very good, you know. Love it. I love it.
Do you wish the show had a little less conversation and a little more action? Feel free to illuminate us with your knowledge. Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
See you next week, Zorba.
Stay well, Tom.
Okay, folks. Zorba has left the building. If you missed anything during the show or just want to download our show podcast, visit us on the web
at Elvis.com. No, ZorbaPastor.org.
Don't forget, you can call us anytime at 800-462-7413.
Maybe it should be HoundDog.com.
Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is Carl Christensen. Our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Tom Clark, hoping you'll join us on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
For more Zorba Pastor on Your Health, including episodes, recipes, and tips mentioned on the program, visit ZorbaPastor.org. This year, we're celebrating the show's 25th anniversary, and we want to hear from you. How has Zorba helped you out? What have you learned from the show over the years? Leave us a message at 800-462-7413.